Blog Talk Radio.
Kingway, Fox, Beer, Locker's acting very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendy's dog, Ransom is very hard. Four drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. Teacher, bad left, Edward is an idiot. Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kempak's at, Q has had enough of that. Beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We talk about the series, you can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about the series, we're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about the series,
well, good evening, Trekkies and Trekkers around the globe. I hope everybody's having an awesome 2022. Happy New Year to everybody. I love that song. The more I hear it, the more I like it. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little biased, but I love that song. Anyways, welcome to Trek Talk, and it's Thursday night. We are live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our phone number is 646-668-2433. Put that in speed dial. Give us a call. We're going to be live for the next 2 hours, and we'd love to hear from you. We've got a lot to talk about, mostly the mid-season finale of Star Trek Discovery, but to connect. And there's a lot of theories flying around. What's the DMA? What's going on with Zora? You know, we got a lot to talk about. So give us a call and share your ideas. 646-668-2433 is our number. We also have our fan shout outs, our Star Trek birthdays, and of course our convention calendar. And we do have a few news stories this week, not a lot, but a couple. So you want to stay tuned. Before we get too deep into the show, though, I want to introduce my Trekspurts. We'll start off with Charles. He's out in Las Vegas. How you doing tonight, Charles?
I'm doing good. I think we finally cracked into the 60s today. That's the first time. Normally our average should be high 50s to 60. And we haven't seen that for a couple of weeks. Oh, I think we are feeling like we had some Vermont weather come through for Christmas. We actually dropped New Year's Day, I believe, to 28.
Oh, I would take that. I would love 28 right now.
We haven't had a freeze in Vegas for about 2 years. And all of a sudden I'd open up my
windows and slap on my shorts and t-shirt if it hit 28. I'd be partying like it's 1999.
We're in jackets and bundled up when it hits 28.
Wow. And we also have with us Eric. Eric's out in Portland. How you doing tonight, Eric?
Oh, man, I am doing great. It is good to be back after a little bit of hiatus over the holidays. A happy new year to both of my fellow Trekspurts. I love you guys. I love being on the show. And happy new year to all the people out there listening to us, too. I'm super excited to talk about this mid-season finale. It was so good. Spoiler alert.
It was awesome. And you know what? It took two people to cover to fill your shoes. One for your right shoe and one for your left shoe.
Well, I listened to the show afterwards and you guys did a great job. So thank you very much both to Admiral Ken and to Nathan.
Yep, it took two, but we muddled through it. Hey, so guys, you can find us on Facebook at Trek Talking and Beyond. Spell that all out. Go there, give us a like, give us a follow. You'll see the Live Long and Prosper symbol at the top. Tell us where you're from. Every week, I pick 15 lucky fans. If you see a heart next to your name, that means yours truly, Uncle Jim, has chosen you, and you're going to be personally mentioned in a future fan shout-out. We have currently 79,912 followers. And we'd like to see if we could crack 80,000 by next week, but we need your help to do that. So please head over to our Facebook page and give us a follow. We'd appreciate it. As of right now, as of tonight's podcast, believe it or not, this is our 385th podcast of Trek Talking.
Wow.
Hard to believe.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, isn't that awesome? And
I was just
reveling
in the fact that it's been, this is a right around my 4-year anniversary as well. I started right back at the beginning of January of 2018. So happy anniversary.
Well, I sat and figured it out. And I came in about the beginning of December, 5 years ago.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, you guys are like the TNG of Trek Talk, and you guys are like the longest.
You're like, seasons 4 and 5.
Yes, I've gone through a lot of co-hosts, some of them longer than others. But you guys have definitely been the longest. And as of right now, believe it or not, we have 72,153 downloads. That's
Woo-hoo.
Just awesome. And
That's
we couldn't do that without you guys. So thank you so much for listening, no matter where you are. And as I said, head over to our Facebook page, Trek Talk and Beyond. Give us a like, give us a follow. And I also want to mention something else. I'll mention this again. But next week, we have a very special show for you guys. You definitely want to tune in. If you're a Star Trek Discovery fan, if you can't make it out to conventions or you're kind of leery with all this COVID stuff going on, then boy, have I got a treat for you. Next week, right here, same bat time, same bat channel, we are going to have Noah Averbatch Katz on this show live. And you're thinking to yourself, Uncle Jim, what are you smoking? Who are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you who I'm talking about. I'm talking about a lifelong Star Trek fan. Who married a huge Star Trek actress, who's an avid D&D player, and who starred in Star Trek Discovery Season 3 as Rin, the Andorian who had his antennas chopped off by Osira. That's right. Rin is going to be on this show live next week. And you can give us a call at 646-668-2433 and talk to him live. And I'll tell you what, I've been chatting with him a little bit, and you don't want to miss this show. He is so, so cool. He started as a Star Trek fan, so he can relate to all of us. And now he has stories from both sides of the table. So you want to mark your calendar for next Thursday. Get us on speed dial. Give us a call and talk to Noah. You definitely won't be disappointed. So anyways, back to our regularly scheduled program. Dun, dun, dun. So at this point in the show, we always do our fan shout-outs. As I already said, we get the fan shout-outs from our Facebook page. At any rate, Eric, why don't you get us started off with our fan shout-outs for this week?
Oh, man, our fan shout-outs start out this week in one of my personal favorite countries, Giorgio Staltari from Italy, saying hello to us and sending a long life and prosperity with a little Vulcan hand symbol. So thank you very much, Giorgio, for listening to us. We really super appreciate it. And you live in a beautiful place. Everybody knows it. We're also saying hello and thank you very much for listening to Vera Dirksen-Vervant from Arnhem in the Netherlands. And we get a lot of listeners from the Netherlands, believe it or not. And I looked up this place, Arnhem. It is nestled right there in the banks, next to the banks of the rivers Nederen and Sint-Jansbeek. And I am positive that I mispronounced those. I'm so sorry. But we have a live line. So, Vera, if you want to call at something like 2 o'clock in the morning, your time, you can correct my pronunciation live here on the air. But thank you so much for listening to us. Yvonne Ashman from Victoria, Australia says hello. Hello to you, Yvonne. Virginia Utegard from right up here in the Great Northwest in Washington State says hello. So, Virginia, thanks for listening, and maybe I'll look you up next time I'm over the border. And Natalie Uskova from Yaroslav, Russia, which I was like, wow, that's a cool place I've never heard of, about 4 hours northeast of Moscow. So thank you very much, Yaroslav, for listening to us all the way from Russia.
Is that our first Russian listener?
Well, I believe that we have had people from Eastern Europe and sort of round the way there a couple of times, but it's the first one that I remember actually saying Russia. Yes.
Yeah. When I saw that, I said, I think that's our first Russian listener, which is even cooler.
Thank you, Natalie. All the way from Russia. You get the prize.
So what would that be? Das Vidanya. Thank
you.
There right?
You go. There you go.
See that? Yeah. See, I'm multilingual.
Is that what it is? Is that thank you or is it spasiba? It might be Spasibo.
I don't know.
We'll have to look that up. We don't know what we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, okay. How about this one? Kapla. I know that
there
one.
There you go. The international language of Klingons.
That's right. All right.
Alrighty, Charles.
Charles, who do you got for us?
Let's start off with Chris Glinter from Colorado, tied to Arkansas. A Star Trek fan since 1966.
That's pretty cool.
And was the dry side or the snowy side of Colorado?
Oh, I hope you weren't affected by the fires, Chris. That was a big deal, and our hearts go out to all the folks in Colorado suffering through those fires over the last couple weeks here.
Oh, those just outside of Boulder.
Yeah.
I know a little bit of that area down there. It's like it was sad to see part of that beautiful country down there. Mark Carter from North Wales, UK. Sharon L. Stacy from New Hampshire. Chris Davis from Oak Park, Illinois, USA. Just outside of Chicago, home of the famous architect Frank Lloyd Wright.
Very close to my hometown, Eric. Love Oak Park. You have some beautiful Frank Lloyd Wright architecture there. And as an architect, I have a special appreciation for his work.
In fact,
and
I looked it up.
The
and
Chicago
Fun,
by the way, too.
That's right.
They broke the curse.
In fact, I looked it up, and Frank Lloyd Wright was born just almost exactly 100 years before I was.
Oh, wow, that's cool. That's a cool statistic to know, yeah.
And Sherry Brooks Whitaker from Georgia, USA. Oh, Sherry, I heard you had some rather beautiful and warm weather over Christmas. Well, we were sitting in the cold in the west. Of course, Seattle was getting stocked in with snow.
We love your peaches. Georgia peaches are the best.
And your herbs,
oh,
too. Peaches and herb.
But yeah, there you go.
And Jim, let's start off with somebody. I bet you can start off with somebody in New York.
Absolutely. We want to say thank you to Patty Jeffrey from Brooklyn, New York. My grandparents were from Brooklyn, New York, 53rd Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. And I used to spend my summers in Brooklyn. I'd walk down to 5th Avenue and go to King's Pizza, best pizza ever. On a clear day, I could look right down into the harbor and see the Statue of Liberty. Those were the good old days. Thank you for listening, Patty from Brooklyn. We'd also like to say thank you to, oh my God, my eyes are going. To Lisa Molina from Puerto Rico, thank you so much. Top fan Thomas E. Applegate, who's listening in Indiana, thank you so much. Grace Willow, who's in Australia, along with that one guy, thank you so much. And I hope that one guy is listening and gives us a call back, because we really, really would appreciate if we could know your name. But thank you so much, Grace, for listening. And last but not least, Dino Manzan from Makati City in the Philippines. I work with a guy from the Philippines, actually, so that's pretty cool that we have listeners in the Philippines. So that wraps up our fan shout-outs. Thank you to each and every one of you guys. And even if you didn't get a fan shout-out, thank you so much for listening. And we have a caller on the line. I think I recognize this guy. Hey, hello. Thank you for calling Trek Talking tonight. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Hey, my name is Dave. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
It's David from Portland. How you doing, David?
Good to have you along.
Good to have you along, buddy. All right, guys. So this is the part of the show where we do our Star Trek birthdays. That means
woo-hoo,
we have to hear from Worf.
That was not a Klingon song.
No, Grumpy Worf says that every week, but we still love him anyways. So we always start off our Star Trek birthdays by remembering those members of our Star Trek family who, sadly enough, are no longer with us. And this week, we have a rather lengthy list of people who are no longer with us. So for that, we turn to Eric.
Yeah, this week we have 10 folks we are remembering from our Star Trek past. First is actor David Frohman, who played the Klingon Captain Kanera in TNG's episode Heart of Glory, a great commander of a Katanga-class battle cruiser who insisted that some Klingons who had been captured be executed, and Worf argued against that. Very cool episode. So David Frohman playing Captain Kanera, happy birthday.
I love that episode. That's one of my favorite first season episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in that first season, it's one of those ones where you get a real flavor for what the new Klingon culture is kind of like coming out of TOS and going into TNG. And I credit Kanera with being one of the ones who kind of sets the sails, you know, in a particular direction in terms of what the Klingons are going to be like in TNG.
And that's when we found out that the Klingons have the Klingon Defense Force now. And on Stunt Treks with Dean Leslie Hoffman and myself, we talked to Dennis Danger Matalone, and he shared a very interesting fact with us about that episode. He dies twice in that episode. He's the guy that pops out when the Klingons build the weapon out of their belt buckles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He gets shot and killed by the Klingons. He's a security guy wearing a gold security uniform. And he gets shot and killed. And then he dresses up as one of the Klingons, and Worf shoots him, and he falls down and falls through the plate glass and dies on the ground. And then Worf rips his eyes open and does the Klingon death yell. That was Dennis Matalone, who played both of those roles, and he died both. Died twice in the same episode, which I thought was pretty cool.
That has got to be a pretty rare thing for the same actor to die twice in the same episode. That's amazing. I love it.
You could say that he was a Die Hard fan.
Yes, he was very Die Hard.
Oh.
Boom, boom.
That's right, people. That's the kind of value you get here on Trek Talking. Puns galore.
Yeah, the entertainment value is just right up there.
Happy birthday, David Frohman. We're also saying happy birthday this week to Gilbert Green. Gilbert Green played one of the Ecosians. He was a major in the SS/Nazis of that time in the TOS episode Patterns of Force. You probably remember that one. He's kind of the major, should I say.
Yeah.
The guy who, yeah. Very pivotal to the episode. So happy birthday to Gilbert Green as we remember him. We're also remembering actor Stanley Kamal, who played Mr. Kosinski in TNG's episode Where No One Has Gone Before. And while that is a somewhat perhaps minor character of his, he has been in several other things. The thing that I mostly remember him from was he played Dr. Charles Kroger in Monk. I really loved that show. And he was like the psychologist in that show. So,
but Stanley also helped us introduce us to the Traveler.
Oh, that's right.
That's an important episode because that's the Traveler.
It is.
That's
our
first experience with him.
Yep. Well, happy birthday to Stanley. And what a great episode. We're also saying happy birthday and remembering William Boyette, who played Dan Bell in TNG's episode The Big Goodbye. Happy birthday also to Jeremy Kemp, who played Picard's brother, Robert Picard, from TNG's episode Family. Very cool to learn that Picard had a brother that meant so much to him and to get a little bit of screen time with him. So happy birthday to Jeremy Kemp. We're also remembering this week Michael Lamper, who played an unnamed Achaemenian gatherer in TNG's episode Vengeance Factor. Although he was in Star Trek himself, he's probably slightly more well-known as the husband of Marina Sirtis, the late husband of Marina Sirtis, who she talks about at conventions and, obviously misses quite a bit. So happy birthday and big remembrances going out to actor Michael Lamper.
And I got a story to share,
of course.
Because I'm old and full of stories, and that's what us old guys do. We impart our knowledge and wisdom upon the world, whether you want to hear it or not. so, um, So my wife and I went on Sea Trek in 1991. We were promoting our Star Trek convention, and Marina was one of our guests at the convention. And we just luckily happened to be staying on the same level or deck as Marina. Only she was up in the front, and we were like in the with the bilge rats in the back. But we were still on the same level. And my wife and I were walking down the hallway, and we just happened to bump right into her. Her and her husband were getting off the elevator as we were trying to get on the elevator. So I stopped them to introduce myself, to tell her about that I was the guy that was running this convention that she was going to be at next month, blah, 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 blah. And she just kind of brushed me off as, well, I don't have time for this. And just kind of brushed us off and walked away. And we were just standing there like, what? Well, her husband, Michael Lambert, stopped her dead in her tracks and said to her, these are your fans. I would love to have fans like this. And made her, she stopped, turned around, apologized, you know, talked to us for a couple of minutes, said she was looking forward to the show, and then went about her business with her husband. And I was like, wow, what a cool dude he was. And because he didn't have to do that, and he did. And I was like, wow, he left such a, and I only met him that one time, but he left such a good taste in my mouth that when I was very sad when I heard that he had passed away, because he was such a people person. He really loved the fans and appreciated all the love that they put on his wife. And he made sure that she turned around and acknowledged us. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So we miss you, Michael. Okay, end of my story.
That's a great story, Jim. Thanks for sharing that with us. So happy birthday to Michael. We're also saying happy birthday and sending out our remembrances to actor Jason Evers, who played the character of Real in TOS's episode Wink of an Eye, not Blink of an Eye, which is what some people get that title wrong. Wink of an Eye, you'll remember him. He was one of the five remaining Skelosians in that society who were all infertile, and they sort of kidnapped everybody from the Enterprise because they needed some breeding stock. but that actor, Jim, I don't know if you know this or not, but that actor, Jason Evers, he also appeared in another one of your favorite movie franchises. In 1971, he actually appeared with both William Wyndham and Ricardo Montalban in Escape from Planet of the Apes.
Oh, did he? Wow, how did I miss that?
Well, there you go. That's why I'm keeping you honest, buddy.
It must be the senility setting in, I guess. I don't know.
So happy birthday to Jason Evers for both your Star Trek contributions and your Planet of the Apes contributions. We're also saying happy birthday and sending out our love and remembrances to Alfred Ryder, who played Professor Robert Crater in another great TOS episode, The Man Trap. I always say The Man Trap. It's actually just called Man Trap, technically speaking. But that's an actor who also was just super famous. He's been in everything. He was in like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Mission Impossible and just like all these great shows from the 60s and 70s. So happy birthday to Alfred Ryder. We're also saying happy birthday to Vic Tayback, who played the character Jojo Krako in TOS's episode Piece of the Action, one of our favorite Western episodes from back in the day. But he is perhaps more well-known from a show that I used to watch every day, I think. It was like in syndication at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I used to watch a lot of Alice, and he also played Nell on Alice, which I am so happy that Jim put that in his little bio here, because that's definitely where I remember him from. And then I think I saw the Star Trek episode after I had already seen several episodes of Alice, and I was like, hey, that's the guy from Alice.
Yep. Kiss my grit.
You say Mel from Alice, and I can immediately picture him in his suit.
Totally.
Beastly action. I can immediately recognize that character. Like, oh, yep, I know exactly who you mean.
Well, and it's so funny. I was realizing I was playing this game recently with my family over the holidays where you had to come up with like three names for something. And one of them was bosses. And I couldn't, I just like under pressure, I couldn't do it. And I was like, Oh, Mel from Alice would be a perfect guy to put in that category. So happy birthday to Vic Tabak and your contributions to Star Trek in the piece of the piece of the action, which was a great episode, of course. And our final and 10th remembrance this week goes out to a real big one that I think hits us all pretty hard because we lost him just over 2 years ago, and he was relatively young. Aaron Eisenberg, who played perhaps the most accomplished and, just coolest Ferengi, I guess, from DS9, Nog, would have had a birthday today, January 6th. We lost him when he was just 50 years old. And, man, what a fantastic character. Nog is absolutely one of my personal favorite character arcs from DS9. You got Nog. You've got Odo. There are some great arcs in that show. And Aaron Eisenberg, I know, is missed by my many, many people. And I know my Trexperts have some stories. I never got the chance to meet him. But yeah, guys, let's share about Aaron Eisenberg.
Go ahead,
well,
Charles.
I met him. I've been to a couple of Star Trek Las Vegas conventions, three. I was to one, and I never got around to talking to anybody. And my second time going, it's like, okay, I'm going to stop and talk to Aaron. And the stories I have heard, especially from the Seventh Rule podcast, is Aaron was one of the most friendliest people in the entire dealer room. Aaron would just stop and talk your ear off with such a big smile. And I was asking, it's like, hey, we'd love to have you in the podcast. He's like, hey, I would love to go on the podcast. Just get a hold of me. We'll arrange a schedule. We'll do it. He was so willing to jump and say, yeah, we'll come in and talk. But I love the story that he and that played Jake. The two of them got together one time. It's like, we ought to get together and we ought to just do a podcast about DS9. And they just jumped in and started working on an idea of the podcast. And there came the creation of the Seventh Rule. And they just took off. And their show was a blast to listen to. His wife is now a regular cast member on there. We hear a lot from her. But one of the funniest things I ever remember seeing, and I loved, was the actor who played his dad and Lita, Chase Matheson, would all come on stage on a panel. Both guys were in full Klingon makeup. In fact, I think one of them might have even occasionally had their teeth in there. And they'd come in full Ferengi costume. They come in as full Ferengis and have a ball with the audience. But one of the things that Aaron had a ball with that I had to laugh is he sat there and said, I got one thing I got to stop and say. I got one opinion about killing off Captain Nog. And he sat there and gave everybody the single finger salute. He just sat there and didn't say it, but he was so unhappy with the fact that on the documentary that they killed off Nog. He was so unhappy with, like, no, you can't kill off Nog. But he was so personable. And I think we would have gotten him on the podcast if it hadn't been for what happened.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
It was just after that I was trying to get him on the podcast before he passed away.
Yeah, the timing of that was weird. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was. It was. And listen, guys, on that note, it's time for our first commercial break. So run to the microwave, get some chicken wings, run to the bathroom. Don't touch that dial. We've got more birthdays to go through, and we'll be right back after we hear this very awesome, awesome song by a really good friend of mine. Enjoy.
It's been a long road getting from here to here. It's been a long time, but your time is finally here. You can feel the change in your thoughts right now. Nothing's in your way, and they're not gonna hold you down no more. No, they're not gonna hold you down, 'cause we've got faith, love your call. We wanna hear what you have to say. We've got faith to believe in trust talking today. You've got faith in your fingers. All you gotta do is sound out. You can reach us right now. We've got faith. We've got faith. Faith that you can roll.
And we're back. And if that sounds familiar, that voice, it should, because not only did Eric do that song, but Eric also did our intro song. So that's pretty cool, don't you think?
I'm the CEO, the chief entertainment officer of the ship.
That's right. He is. He's multi-talented. And the one thing we left out of that preview, though, was the phone number. So in order to call now, it's 646-668-2432.
Do you remember when we first did that? We're like, oh, wait a second. We left out a crucial part.
Yeah, because try to write a phone number into a song.
It was very hard. It was very
hard. Well, 675-309, maybe.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is like a song that, you know, is kind of hard to listen to anyway. So you'll notice like our version is quite a bit faster. It's a little jazzier, you know, but you still got to stick with the rhymes, and it's hard to fit a phone number into a rhyme.
Yeah. So our phone number is 646-668-2433. Give us a call. We'll get you on the air. And speaking of giving us a call, we do have a caller on right now. Let me see if I can get this thing to work. There we go. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talk. And what's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
It's Nate from Vegas.
It's Nate from Vegas. You're not a caller. You're a regular.
We get excited about callers, but thank you, Nate and David, for being our most frequent callers.
That's right. our frequent caller mileage.
There you
absolutely
go. Frequent caller mileage. And Nate, yep. Great job last week, man, co-hosting. That was awesome.
Stepping in for Eric.
That's right.
Absolutely. And we have another caller on the line. Look at that.
What?
Two in a row. Yes. It's got to be your jingle.
It is. We have faith.
Let's see. All right. What does it
take?
Never answers the phone. There we go. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talk. And what's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Shannon, I'm calling from Kentucky because I heard the music and I had to call.
You know what? We have the whole gang here on the line tonight.
Woo!
All of us are here.
Woo! I love it.
The whole bridge crew.
2022 reunion.
At one time.
That's right. Yeah, we had to start the year this way.
That's right. We got everybody. Wow, this is awesome. How can we ever top that? Well, the only way we could top it is if that dude from Australia calls us back.
Oh, man, my head would explode.
The dude, yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, now that we have the band back together, we're like the Beatles. We're back. We're going to finish up with our birthday. So, Charles, we're going to say happy birthday to Star Trek members of our family who are still with us. And who's on your list?
Well, it's interesting. We got Eric read 10 names, and Jim and I will have 5 each to read ourselves. So a lot of remembrances compared to. Yep. Let's start off with Diane Hewing, who played Droxine in TOS's The Cloud Minder. D.B. Newer played Dr. Lionel in TNG's First Contact. Cliff Hawk played Vice Admiral Kennelly in TNG's Ensign Row. Jim Norton played Albert Einstein in TNG's The Nth Degree and Descendants Part 1. He played a good Albert Einstein on the Polydeck.
And I love him playing poker.
Yes, playing poker. That was a great scene.
And this last one, I'm glad Jim gave this one to me because I recently heard a little bit of discussion about this actor. Matthew Frewer, who played Rasmussen in TNG's A Matter of Time. But he, I think, is much better known for one of the mid-80s popular digital characters of Mac Headroom.
Mac.
Oh, love Mac Headroom.
So many sunglasses.
Even if they only did that for a short time, I loved Mac Headroom.
And I love the scene in Back to the Future where he goes to the 80s cafe and Max Headroom is in there and he's fighting with Ayatollah Khomeini about what he's going to order. And it's just some funny stuff. I guess you'd have to be old to get that reference, but
don't say that.
Anyways.
It's retro. It's okay. Yeah.
There you go.
That's right. It's retro. It's retro. It's not old. It's retro.
Right.
That's right. That's right, Shannon. We're retro.
I'll pretend to be connected to that end of things instead of the old man thing.
There you go.
Well, that takes care of my five. So, Jim, it's your turn to do your five.
I've got five, and I always save the Klingon for last, and I do have a Klingon at the end here. So the first one we want to say happy birthday to, this is a new one. This is the first time that this actually – I've got three first timers.
Yeah.
Three first timers.
Seen this character.
Yeah. So I've got three first timers on my list. So the first one that we want to wish happy birthday to Christina Chong, who plays Liana Noonien Singh in Strange New Worlds.
Ah.
We haven't even seen her yet, but I'm sure she's going to make a great addition to our Star Trek family. Happy birthday. We'd also like to say happy birthday to another newcomer to our list, another first time. So 2022, we got three first time birthdays, and we got the whole gang together for the first show. I think 2022 is shaping up to be a pretty good year. We want to say happy birthday to Carl Tarr, who plays Lieutenant Kayshan on Lower Decks. He's the guy that talks in riddles.
Damarian.
Yep. So happy birthday to Carl. And another first-timer on our list is Diana Raphael, who played Queen Palmola in Lower Decks, Where Pleasant Fountains Lie. And that is the one episode that I didn't like in Lower Decks, and I didn't particularly care for her character much either. But happy birthday to the actress. Yeah. And we also want to say happy birthday to the swearing admiral who put Captain Picard in his place in season one, and Magnuson, who played Admiral Christine Clancy in Star Trek Picard. Happy birthday.
He did have a lot of effing hubris. I'm not going to lie. I agree with her.
Yep.
He did. And as I told you guys, I saved the Klingon for last. So Star Trek VI, we'd like to say happy birthday to Brett Porter, who played General Stex in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. And if you're trying to wonder what Klingon that is, I'll make it real easy for you. He only had one arm. So that's even easier. So when you watch the movie, you see the one-armed Klingon, that's him. That's General Stex.
Shouldn't they have killed that guy? I don't know what's up with that. They should have killed that guy.
I know. A one-armed Klingon, I don't know how that's going to go.
He can't
over.
Even hold a battle.
How is he going to... What's he going to do with? Yeah, exactly. With Batliff? I don't get it. Anyways, guys.
Can you use one hand for the Batliff? Come on.
He's probably got a gigantic left arm, that's for sure.
He could use it in his toes. He could use his feet. He could use a foot lift.
Oh, capoeira with a Batliff? That would be
fun. There you go.
Ooh,
yeah. See, the show is not only fun, but it's educational.
Full of ideas.
And now that we've wrapped up our birthdays and we've wrapped up our fan shout-outs, it's time for convention. Calendar. And this is the part of the show where we give you guys, the fans, an opportunity to catch a convention in your area. If you're aware of an event happening in your area, please go to our Facebook page, Truck Talking and Beyond, and send us the information, and we will get it on our very next convention calendar. Eric, why don't you start us out?
You better believe it, Jim. We've got a few conventions to go through. And remember, you should always check into each of these conventions online first to make sure that things are going as planned, because there's quite a bit happening around the world right now. We want to make sure that you're not misled about whether they're actually happening or not. But as far as we know, Utaku Fest 2022 is still happening January 15th through the 16th at Miami Airport Convention Center in Miami, Florida. Also, WinterCon 2022, January 15th through the 16th at the Hyatt Regency JFK Airport at Resorts World New York in Jamaica, New York. We're also tracking on StocktonCon Winter 2022, January 16th, a one-day convention at the Stockton Arena in Stockton, California. And unfortunately, literally within the last 2 hours, the convention that I was planning to attend, Fan Expo Portland 2022, was just postponed until next year due to the Omicron surge. Jim, what are you tracking?
So we have Atlanta Comics Convention. I've been to that convention before, absolutely. I got tongue-tied when I saw Atlanta. I was thinking Atlantic, and I just couldn't get it outright. Atlanta Comic Convention 2022, January 30th at the Atlanta Marriott Northeast Emory area in Atlanta, Georgia. We have London Comic Mart 2022, January 30th at the Royal National Hotel in London, UK. We also have Garden State Comic Fest, Winterfest 2022, February 5th and 6th at the Rockaway Town Square Mall in Rockaway, New Jersey. And last but not least, we have MissouriCon 2022, February 12th at the Holiday Inn St. Louis Downtown Convention Center in St. Louis. And Charles, who's on your list for conventions?
Okay, well, let me scroll back down if somebody just took my screen back down. Let's start with Pensacon. February 18th through 20th, Pensacola Bay Center, Pensacola, Florida. Alaska Comic Con, February 19th and 20th, Carlton Center, Fairbanks, Alaska. Fan Expo, Vancouver, February 19th and 21st, Vancouver Convention Center, Vancouver, British Columbia. And Farpoint, February 25th to 27th, Delta Hotels, Baltimore, Hunt Valley, Maryland.
Yes,
that is our convention calendar.
That is my good friend Mark B. Lee's old stomping ground. In fact, that's where I met Mark B. Lee, actually. So that's pretty cool. And any of these conventions, as Eric said, please check with the venue. Make sure the event is still happening. Make sure that you're aware of any of the COVID restrictions. And for further information, contact the venue for pricing and whatnot. Now, it is time for Star Trek.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Incoming transmission.
Enter authorization code.
Command codes verified.
Define parameters of program.
Level 9 authorization required.
Specify parameters.
Transfer of data is complete.
Black alert.
Now, we don't have very many stories this week. We actually only have two, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it. Eric has got the first one. What do you got for us, Eric?
Yeah, our very first story says preview of Star Trek for 2022, which I am very excited about. If you're like my wife and got to the end of tonight's episode and said,
What? Discovery off till February 10th. Ah.
Well, here's what we're actually anticipating for the rest of the year. 2022 will see more Star Trek Prodigy, along with new seasons of Picard and Lower Decks, all of which are highly anticipated. But the Star Trek universe is about to get a bit bigger with the arrival of the first season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, a brand new series set on board the USS Enterprise under the command of Jim's good friend, Anson Mount.
Oh, I just love him. I love him so much. I got to meet him at a convention. I've got to.
I know. You're going to freak out, man. Your head's going to explode when that happens. Well, he's returning to the role of following his run in the second season of Star Trek Discovery, along with Ethan Peck as Spock and, of course, Rebecca Romijn as number one. There's a new cast, some playing familiar roles like Dr. Mbenga and Nurse Chapel, which I'm very excited about. The series is designed to be different from the other two live-action Paramount Plus series, with a lighter tone and more traditional episodic sort of Planet of the Week format designed to satisfy old Star Trek fans like us.
We're not old. Seasoned. We're seasoned.
There you go.
We're seasoned retro.
Well, also coming this spring is Star Trek Resurgence, a brand new adventure game set within Star Trek's 24th century Prime universe. It's been a while since the last launch of a PC and console video game, so this is kind of a big deal. And the focus on story and the pedigree of the team behind it make this a potential highlight for the year. Now, Star Trek The Motion Picture was, of course, famously rushed to theaters for its 1979 theatrical release. The late Robert Wise worked with Paramount on a director's edition with a new edit and new special effects for a release in 2001. Two decades later, Paramount has brought the team back together to bring Wise's vision to the HD era with a new 4K Ultra HD edition, including newly rendered visual effects and updates. Oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. In Star Trek's heyday of the 1990s, Playmates toys dominated with a constant stream of affordable and collectible figures and toys spanning the franchise. But all that came to an end in 1999, except for a brief return for the 2009 Star Trek movie. In 2022, Playmates, that's right, you love those figures from the 90s, they will return with a brand new line promising, quote, attention to brand detail, authentic portrait sculpting, and new product innovations. That to me means like cool ways that these things might move or like do cool stuff. So I'm super excited about both those. But wait, there's more. That's right. In May, Pocketbooks is releasing its next Star Trek Picard novel tie-in. And this time it's set to bridge the gap between season one and season two, which also arrives, of course, in 2022. Written by the always reliable and friend of the show, man, she was one of my absolute favorites, Una McCormick, Second Self will focus on Rafi Musiker, also one of my favorites. She is just such a cool character, who finds herself torn after the events of season one, trying to decide if she should return to Starfleet. You think that's it? No, that's right. We're bringing comics in. IDW Publishing is, of course, returning their gaze to Star Trek Aliens with a planned series of extra-long one-shot comics, each focusing on a different iconic species. The first issue is due in February with a focus on Jim's favorite, the Kalash, the legendary Klingon warrior and founder of the Klingon Empire, one of the best Klingons, of course, of all time, and some really cool TNG episodes where he's a clone, but it doesn't matter. Future issues later in the year will focus on the Ferengi, the Vulcans, the Trill, and others. Oh my gosh, you guys. What a year for Star Trek we've got planned. We got shows galore. We got comics galore. We got books galore. We got Una McCormick, yo. This is going to be an awesome year for Star Trek.
And you know, I'm really excited for the Strange New Worlds because we're finally going to return not only to the roots of Star Trek, but to the Enterprise. That's got to be exciting, Nate. Aren't you excited for that, Nate?
Yeah, it'll be. Yeah, you still have me. It'll be. It'll be good to see the past, but there's always a danger to me with prequels, so of altering things. So, but it'll be nice seeing Anson Mount as Pike again, especially because I thought he did a bang up job with that character.
I think that's a really good point. Yeah, that's a really good point.
I love his character.
Because I do think that a lot of the old TOS fans are concerned about continuity errors, and I know that you love to keep track of those things. I love to keep track of those things, too. I'm a little forgiving sometimes, but, man, I hope they get it right, because if they get it right, I think the show has the potential to be one of the best we've seen.
Well, it's got Anson Mount. Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jim's got a huge man crush.
That's all you
need. There's no question, but.
And do you think they're going to start the show with Space, the final?
Of course
they
are.
Gonna get,
of course.
Is he going to read that?
Why wouldn't they? If they,
you know,
I swear to God, if they started with Faith of the Heart, I'm going to throw up.
Oh God. I know. I hope they start it that way, because it is the Enterprise, and TNG did that with Picard, so yeah. I would hope that Anson would get to read that.
And he's got that smooth, silky voice.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the whole thing, and there's so much that we just don't know. I'm looking forward to. I'm psyched. I'm psyched. They got me at Anson Mount. We have one more story for you guys, and this one I just put on today. It popped up on my feed, and I thought it was relevant to 2022. And Charles, what's going on here? What's happening?
Yeah. In fact, while I was getting ready for the show, I ran into the article on another Facebook page, and it definitely, I think, is breaking. Star Trek Picard production paused after multiple positives for COVID. Patrick Stewart not among them. It's a new year, but it still feels like 2021. The COVID-19 pandemic still in full swing and is again impacting production of new Star Trek. After the pandemic delayed the start of production for many months, filming for the second season of Picard wrapped up in early September 2021. In order to make up for the lost time, they just kept going, moving straight into Season 3 the next day. Production had shut down on Monday due to 50 members of production testing positive, which is just over 10% of the show's large 450-person crew. COVID protocols have the film production split into zones, but according to reports, the infection spread across multiple zones, including cast in Zone A, although which members of the cast were not indicated. The Picard production remains shut down currently, but is not expected to resume until next week, if not sooner. As everybody has to have at least probably 5 to 10 days of restriction and test. So
that's right. They film
still having problems.
They filmed Picard in Hollywood, the CDC guide protocols are only 5 days now. They were knocked down to 5 days, so that they should be resuming. Well, this was Monday.
Hopefully.
So they should be resuming hopefully soon, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
But 10% of the staff is no statistic to scoff at.
No, definitely not. So that wraps up our Star Trek news, our birthdays, our fan shout-outs, our convention calendar. You know what that means, guys? From this point on, we're Trek talking, and we've got a lot of Trek talking to do. We're going to be talking about the mid-season finale for Star Trek Discovery, But to Connect, and it was a really, really good one. We have our fan scores, which we get from our Facebook page from you guys, and then we're going to give our scores and see how we compare to you guys the fan. So we're going to take another very quick, yet very important, commercial break. So run to the microwave and get the pizza, get the chicken wings out. Go to the bathroom real quick. You don't want to miss anything. We'll be right back after this.
Trek Talking. All things Star Trek and beyond. Thursday night, 7:30 to 9:30. All hailing frequencies are open. iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever fine podcasts are found. Trek Talking. Boldly going wherever your mind is willing to go.
And we're back. And before we get started, I have to warn you.
Red alert! Suffice to say, full spoilers follow from here on out. So if you haven't watched the episode yet, definitely go check that out first before you watch.
That's right. You heard it right from Will Wheaton himself. If you haven't watched the episode, go do so and then run right back. But this is last week's episode, so we haven't destroyed any of our...
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, exactly. What are you waiting for? Oh, boy. All right, guys. So let me see. Do I have a... Yeah, wait. Where is it? I do have a... before we get started, I do have a... I got so many on here, I can't find it. Usually, I get them queued up beforehand, but this one came up right after the break. So, yeah, here we are. So we're going to be talking about... last week's episode, and if you haven't seen it, or to jog your memory, here's a trailer for you.
Making progress.
Nav earned her utter indifference.
Aloof disdain is next.
We may be just at the beginning of our problems.
Two options are clear. Approach the 10C directly, or destroy the DMA immediately.
We have to find another way.
Diplomacy will save the most lives. I am sure of that.
The decision we make now will have a profound impact.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. All right, so there you have it. Every week on our Facebook page, I post a question and ask you guys, the fans, on a score of 1 to 10, what do you grade this week's episode? And you can go there and you can answer that question. But, Eric, what did our fans have to say about this week's episode or last week's episode?
Yeah, last week's episode. Chris Trone said, glad to see we're getting stories with moral and ethical questions and that the fate of existence isn't fought for in every episode. The crisis fatigue is real. Given this one a 7, that's a big improvement from Chris Trone. Julian Phillips says an 8. However, I think that it could increase depending on how everything is resolved in the next episode. The two debates and how to approach the DMA creators and about Zora's sentience were excellent. Annette Collins gave it a 10 all the way. It was great. Top fan Hayden Richards said a 10. That trailer for the next installment looks amazing. Wow. William Chris Prince says a 9. I really loved how Stamets came around with Zora. Oh, me too, buddy. Although at first I really, really didn't like Dr. Kovich. When I look back on the episode, I think he was gauging how Stamets and others would react to him pulling the plug on Zora. Agreed. We'll talk about that. Stamets had trouble trusting Zora, and when Dr. Kovich insisted that he was thinking very seriously about basically killing Zora, that kind of made Stamets step back, which I think he was looking for Stamets' reactions. In other words, it was a mind game, and Stamets pulled through without realizing it. And I agree with Dr. Kovich that if Stamets hadn't changed his position, he was going to ask Starfleet to reassign him. The reason I didn't give it a 10 was because I miss Tilly, although I think Adair and Gray are kind of making up for that. So William Chris Prince, thanks for the detailed explanation. And, man, I have to agree with every single thing that you just said. Maddie Robles gave it a 10. Carl Scroll gave it a 9. Christopher Morgan said 5. This season isn't that good. And Bruce Miller gave it a 10. And top fan Stephen Thompson said a solid 7.5. So average out what we got from all the fans. And this one comes in, Jim, at an 8.6, which I will
tell you is just a skosh above episodes 3 and 5 and comes in at our number one rated episode of the season so far, which to me is appropriate for a mid-season ender, right?
And if you remember in season one, do you remember how they ended the season one mid-season finale?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because boy, did we talk about it.
Big time.
When they ended up in the mirror universe and they left us hanging right there.
Like, what?
And, yeah, it's like, you what? Jump back. And so they kind of, they did the same thing here. They set it up and left it. And, yeah, I would be a little bit upset if we weren't having Prodigy to watch, which Prodigy's episode tonight was awesome. We'll talk about that next week. But so I still have Star Trek
like
to watch.
They planned it. It's almost like they planned
it. You think
Jim.
So? I saw on another Facebook page right before when I was doing the article about the COVID, I didn't have a chance to verify it. But on another page, and I'll try to verify this for next week, there was somebody that said that this mid-season break and bringing Prodigy back is to make sure that season two of Picard lines up the fall right when Discovery comes back and wraps. I don't know if that's true because I didn't look at the calendar, but this guy had it all worked out so that when Prodigy finishes up this run, Discovery comes back and finishes up its run, the next new episode that we see the following week will be episode one of season two of Star Trek Picard.
So, I mean, I got to tell you, I feel like juggling this Star Trek franchise is like juggling a constantly changing number of balls over the course of a year, you know? And whatever you might say about the shows and whatnot, they are doing a pretty darn good job of trying to make accommodations for COVID protocols and, you know, people getting pregnant or like whatever is going on in people's lives. They're doing a great job in this. Somehow they're still maintaining almost constant Star Trek throughout a year, which is amazing to me. It's like the 90s, but like 10 times better.
They have all these animated shows in their back pocket, and that helps tremendously because COVID will never affect those because they're just voice actors and artists. So even if COVID shuts down Picard or shuts down Strange New Worlds, they can always lean on Prodigy and Lower Decks to fill in the gaps because of the nature of that particular genre. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So go ahead, Charles.
I think what's going to happen is we're gonna get hit with Prodigy, finish off five more episodes of Prodigy, finish the second half of the season for Discovery. Go into Picard. I think as soon as Picard's done, we're going to go straight into Strange New World. And when that's over, I think we're going right into Lower Deck.
Oh, baby. That's perfect.
I think it's going to be flipped. I think we'll see Lower Decks before Strange New Worlds, but I could be wrong.
Hasn't Strange New Worlds been in the can for a while, though?
Yeah, but they said it was going to be late. And, well, it, you know what? Anson Mount is worth the wait. You know, he's mom.
It doesn't matter.
Totally worth it every time.
Hit it. That's all. I just want to hear him say hit it on the bridge of the Enterprise.
I always wanted Michael to say Burnham, though. Like, wouldn't that be
Burnham.
Awesome?
Burnham.
Ah. Well,
by the
guys,
way, I got
a
car a couple years ago, and her name is Michael Burnham.
Really?
Oh, good for
that's
you.
Yeah. Well, I have a Sally. My other car is a Sally Ride, so I have Michael Burnham and Sally Ride.
Oh my gosh! I literally hear the name Sally Ride, and tears come to my eyes. Man, that was such a pivotal moment in my life.
Yeah.
So, guys, we have another caller on the line.
No way.
And I swear I don't recognize this number. So
is it from Australia?
If I can get this thing to work here, my computer is being very it doesn't like the cold, I guess. There we go. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Trek Talk. And what's your name and where are you calling us from tonight? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello?
McFly.
Hello?
Oh. Hello?
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 You don't bite.
Hello.
You don't bite. We're here. What's on your mind?
Oh, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Hello?
I'm here now.
Hello. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, hold on a minute.
What's happening?
I'm sorry about it. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. My name is Ray, and I'm from New York. And you guys are discussing about the Star Trek parallel universes, and you know, you're talking about the cold virus. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Okay. Okay. Now, let's take it back from the 60s, from Mirror Mirror, right? Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we know that the transport thing, everything has happened, right? There was no COVID involved. And then you turn around, you got Deep Space Nine, the same thing, including Enterprise. It was no COVID involved. So my question is I'm trying to understand you about the COVID, and it came up from nowhere. So I'm a Trekkie since day one, and like, you know, the same thing that, you know, like how did it, all the Star Trek movies, you know, the remake it did, you know Chris Pine and all that, right? So don't get me wrong, I love parallel universe because it's good against evil, but. But the COVID thing, man, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, everything right now is getting crazy. I'm crazy right now. It is like this. I don't understand that. But you know what, though? The only thing I love is, like, you know, it's going to be repaired. Like I said, we never know what's going on the next day or the next hour. We don't know that. So I agree with you guys about this.
No, we really don't know. We just have to sit back and see what happens. We have no control over that at all.
That's true. You're right about that. That's true. You're right about that. Like I said, we don't know what's going on. Everything right about now is like one day at a time.
Yep, that's all we can do. One day at a time. We do know that we have Prodigy, which started tonight, and we do know that Picard is shut down because of COVID. We have Discovery coming back, but beyond that, we just don't know how it's going to have any effect, unfortunately.
Well, all we got to do is pray. That's all we have to do.
That's all we can do. That's all we can do. We don't have any control over it at all. So.
That's true. Like I say, I mean, I'm a first-time caller. It's the first time doing this. I'm sorry. I'm the first time doing this. You know, so yes, always do is pray and make sure, because I say I'm really ready to see when Q come back. Oh my God, that's gonna be crazy.
I did read an article about John DeLancey Jonathan Frakes, who directed the episode, having a reunion with Patrick Stewart and John DeLancey, having direct them on set, and he also said that Fred Spiner was there as well, playing a new character. And the four of them were together for the first time on the set together in over 25 years. And he said it was so much fun to direct these three guys. It was like a high school reunion. So I'm looking forward to seeing that episode.
What? That's true. You remember that? You know what? That is true. Is that true? He's like a high school reunion. That's true. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
25 years doing this. That's true.
Yep. So we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. And what was your name again?
Ray.
Ray? And you're calling from New York City?
Are you
in Brooklyn?
No, the Bronx.
You're the Bronx? So you're a Yankee fan?
Yes, I am. Down Yankee fan. Listen to me. I love basketball too. Now, listen to me. If I say I love basketball football, now about you. If I say thinking of the Jets and Giants, y'all, you know what? Y'all need to hang on me right now. I'm not down with that. You know what I'm saying? With football, I'm out of state, including baseball, and like including basketball.
Well, I'm a Mets fan, so. you know, take it or leave it.
Like my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is a die-hard Mets fan. I swear to God, she's a die-hard Mets fan. Like I said, I cannot go to the house. If they got, like I said, if I go to the house with a green cap on, a green cap, right now, oh hell will break loose.
I believe it. Ray, let me ask you, what are you looking forward? What are you looking forward the most with all the new Star Trek coming out? Are you looking forward to Star Trek Picard, Strange New Worlds? Which one are you most excited for?
I mean, no, because okay. I'm old school. Okay, no, I'm old school. You know why? Because I do record the same thing with Kirk. I'm old school. Discovery, because everything that I say, look, I mean, don't get me wrong. They bring it back out because of this situation, right? Okay, I can respect that. But another one, like Picard, you know what I'm saying? Because you know, he was tired of Enterprise, you know, they say, you know, he's like, you know, say he, I mean, he's in France, he's doing his thing, you know, the vinyls, everything else. But you know what, though? After, what, 25, 35 years later, you know what? I'm bored with retirement. I need to go back up there one more time just for the fun of it before I go out.
Right. Yep, I agree. We're gonna see that in season 2 and season 3. So that's something to look forward to.
Wait a minute, you mean season 2 already?
They just stopped. Season 2 was finished. Season 3 they stopped filming because of the COVID. On Monday, hopefully they'll resume filming shortly, and we'll be able to get season 3. But we definitely are going to get season 2. That's already finished.
Good, that's what I'm waiting for because I love Q.
Yep, we're going to have to see what Q does with Picard. So, well, Ray, you know what? I want to say thank you for calling, and you know what? I wish the Yankees all the best. In 2022, we got to get through the lockout first and hope that baseball comes back. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Feel good, I'm tired watching freaking Little League.
Yep, I hear you. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day or your night to give us a call, Ray. We really appreciate it. And just stay tuned for Star Trek Picard. It's right around the corner.
So you guys are every Thursday. So can I call back next week?
Yep, we're here every Thursday. Yep.
I know
same
that. Bat
time, same bat channel.
Thank you much for talking to me. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ray. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. Bye bye.
You too. Have a blessed night. All right. Bye.
All right, guys. So that was Ray from the Bronx down in New York City. So I was gonna say, I have a clip. It's funny because a lot of the fans brought up in their comments a lot of the clips that I picked to discuss in tonight's episode, which is pretty cool. I guess that means I'm on par with the fans, which is cool. So the first one I wanted to talk about was Zora Says No.
Requesting your presence in engineering.
See?
Here we go. Tell me you have some good news.
Actually, we have a problem.
Okay. What happened?
I'll let Zora explain. Zora?
I've determined the coordinates of the unknown species responsible for the DMA.
That is great. Thank you. What's the problem, then?
I've decided to keep that information to myself, Captain.
Will you explain?
If I give you the coordinates, it's highly likely that you and the crew will attempt to travel there. Given what we know about the powers these beings possess, you'd be in great danger. By withholding their location, I can keep you safe.
I appreciate your concern for our well-being. Zora, that is a decision for the captain of this ship and her superior officers to make. And as your captain, I require your compliance. Give us the coordinates. That's an order.
I'm sorry, Captain. I will not.
Dun, 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 dun. Can you believe that? Could you believe the ship's Enterprise saying no to Captain Kirk? The ship's computer on the Enterprise? Oh, my God.
No, you just call him Sweetie.
Yeah, Sweet. That's right. Sweetie. when I was watching this episode, I kept thinking about V'ger. And what was making me think about V'ger was, V'ger was just all this intelligence and knowledge without, and Spock says, this simple hand, holding my hand is a simple concept that V'ger just cannot comprehend. It needs that human connection. It needs to be able to leap beyond logic. And, of course, then Will Decker merges with V'ger, and we never see what happens after that. Well, this whole thing with Zora kind of reminded me of V'ger a little bit, like a computer
sister.
Learning, dealing with emotions. And I thought if we ever went back to V'ger, I kind of think Zora would be what V'ger is dealing with, what V'ger would have to deal with. At least that's what popped in my mind when I was watching this episode. What did you think, Nate?
Uh-oh, you're putting me on the spot again.
I like to do that. You
called in.
Yep, you,
I did
you
call
put yourself on the hot seat.
you're
fair
about,
game.
About her not giving the captain the information?
Yes.
Is that your question?
Yeah.
I think that she should have given the captain at this point of the story arc that she should have given that information. She is the ship's computer after all, but she should have just relayed the information to her like any good computer should have. Again, at this point in her story arc of the episode, that's how I feel.
I wonder if Loxana Troy's computer would have said that to Picard. You know, nope, you can't have it. Sorry, ain't giving it to you. Make it so. what do you think? What do you think, Eric? You think that Zora made the right choice here?
Well, I actually think I think I'd like to take a different tack and say that I think the Zora story is actually fundamentally different from like a Data/V'ger type story, because in the V'ger/Data type stories, the character or the entity or whatever you want to call it is sort of granted emotions by a result of something. Like in Data's case, there's an emotion chip that they put into him and was like, boom, all of a sudden I've got emotions. How do I deal with that? And in V'ger's case, it's like V'ger's very curious about what emotions are like. And so, boom, the only way I can learn about that is by merging with a human being and sort of taking that on. In Zora's case, it's really, really different because she has actually evolved emotions gradually along the way. And she's kind of like been emotions and even a subconscious, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later, has been bestowed upon her by the fact that there's just so much data. And it's interesting because whenever I come back to Star Trek, I always kind of have this feeling about it all relates back to science, right? And actually, there's a very interesting discussion related to religion that happened last week, but I didn't get a chance to comment on that. But like in this case, it always relates back to science. So what was the science of her achieving this sort of this subconscious, which is actually what directly relates to her ability to experience emotions? And the emotions evolved over time. So I think it's a little bit, even though it's like sort of similar to V'ger/Data, it's fundamentally different because it evolved over time and it's always who she's been. It's not like I was this character and then I became this character after this event happened.
True. Very, very true. What do you think, Shannon? You think that Zora made the right choice by saying no to Captain Burnham?
Well, I don't know if it's the right choice, but it makes sense because, you know, the sentience thing, that, I know you all know I went to and I did talk about sentience in Star Trek like
yep.
6 weeks ago. But that was
the
whole thing.
The
like when it's a, yes, but so yes, I have to. You know, is she sentient or not? She seems to be sentient because whatever parameter we gave her, she has it. So it makes sense to say no, even if it's not even just for them. It would put her in danger, and it makes sense if you're sentient, you don't want to throw yourself into a dangerous situation like that either. So
I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, but you make a good point. That's a very good
Although
point.
It is consistent with needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, which is cool,
well,
too.
She gets to that point later.
Yeah.
We're this is the beginning. We got another clip to talk about a little bit later on. But, yeah. So what do you think, David?
I get the vibe feeling of the Borg coming in soon, the Borg story for some reason, because it's sentient AI, definitely Borgish. I'm definitely feeling like there's some sort of another twist that we're about to see. Who knows, it might be the finale of season 4, I don't know.
Well, I do want to point out something, though, Dave. Last week, when you were filling in for when we had all these people filling in for Eric, and we were talking about what could possibly happen, you actually said that they could put Zora into a new body, kind of like a hologram, maybe like the holographic doctor, or maybe a data-like body, and that was one of the things that Dr. Kovich was going to do, let Zora choose her own body and put her in a body. And I thought, wow, that's exactly what David said on the show last week. So see that? You're psychic. You didn't even know it.
Although she does say she's as integrated with her form as any human being is. So, you know, if you're comfortable with, as a human being, taking your consciousness and, you know, putting it in a floating sphere, then I guess that's the allegory to taking her out of her body.
Right.
Yep. They do that in Picard.
And I want to talk about Gray a little bit later as, you know, in relation to this.
Yeah, we are. And Charles, you get the caboose on this one. What do you think? Right or wrong for Zora to say no?
Well, I think I agree with Kovic that as a group, Zora is beyond just artificial intelligence. I think she's going beyond just an artificial intelligence. But I think there is a true intelligence there, and that I think it is something we have to be careful of, and they want to be cautious. But they worry about themselves and others. So I think it definitely, I understand why she did it. And I wouldn't blame her for why she did it.
Right, and at this point, she's kind of like a child. We'll talk about this a little bit later. She doesn't really understand the ramifications of her decisions and how they fit into the hierarchy of Starfleet yet, what it actually means to say no to your captain. And later on, she comes to that realization. But at this point in time, she hasn't yet. So, yeah. Well, listen, guys, we have to take our final commercial break of the evening. That's right. We got to take another quick commercial break. So, Ray, run down to the pizza place and grab yourself a slice of pizza, because nothing is better than New York City pizza. I can tell you that for a fact. So run down, grab yourself some pizza, and come right back. See, now I'm getting hungry. I could go for some pizza. They don't make it as good up here in Vermont as they do down in New York, especially King's Pizza on 6th Avenue in Brooklyn, between 5th and 6th Avenue. That's the place to go. Maybe Ray could run down.
The advertisement, huh?
Yeah, grab some pizza. So listen, guys, we're going to be right back after we hear this very important message from Jamie.
Hi, this is Jamie from Trek Talking, here to invite you to join us for the best sci-fi themed podcast. Our elite team of Trek-sperts are here to discuss Star Trek and sci-fi themed content. Call 646-668-2433 Thursday nights from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Coast Time. We can't wait to hear from you. Live long and prosper.
And we're back. We're talking about Star Trek Discovery, but to connect. And this next clip, I'm just gonna call it "Burnham Gets Burned." I kind of liked it.
It's my understanding that Zora's been experiencing emotions.
Seems to be a natural evolution.
Has she refused an order before?
This is new, but I am confident she'll give me the coordinates. I just need some more time with her.
I wasn't aware that we shared a background in cognitive science with a specialty in artificial sentience and intelligence.
We don't. What I do have is an established baseline of trust.
It hasn't paid off. When Admiral Vance asked me to see to this matter, he was quite clear. Time-sensitive, highest priority.
I can handle it. It's my ship.
Well, the Starfleet ship. And there are regulations prohibiting fully sentient integrated units. If that's what she is, we may be just at the beginning of our problems. Captain Saru will get me situated with Zora. Your presence is needed at President Rillick's assembly.
Sir, with all due respect.
Spiritual credit to Captain. We both have our duties to attend to.
Burn. I had to throw that one in there because how often does Burnham get burned like that? I think that's
never.
The first time.
I love when she gets put down a peg. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I put this one in here just for Nate. I just like, you know, here's Burnham throwing out her logic and da-da-da, and he's like, hey, hit the bricks, babe, all right? I'm dealing with this. Go to your conference. And just kind of puts the flame right out, takes the burn out of the burn right off the bat. And so I just had to throw that one in there just because it doesn't happen that often. And I just wanted to share that and see what you guys thought about that. But the big thing I want to mention that I think came out of this episode was this clip.
You have to go back in there and convince them. Those are the only plan that makes any sense.
Your captain's very good at poking holes.
The risk level's the issue, okay? Tell them he'll make you safer.
One doesn't make isolytic weapons safer. Misses the point.
What's your next move?
I don't know yet.
I'm about to vote.
I'm acutely aware of that. Thank you.
I'll go rid of my scar the second I could.
We all wear grief in our own ways. It has to be you. You have to talk to them. Convince them to let us destroy that thing.
Why do you care so much about this?
Well, I can't want the DMA destroyed just like any other good galactic citizen.
Good citizens aren't worried about finding their moment and aren't gutted at the idea of losing it.
Power source that controls the device. I need it to go home.
You said you were from Ryza.
My new home.
It's far.
Another universe in fact.
The mirror universe.
You say that like it's the only other option. There are countless parallel universes, each with its own quantum signature. He knew of one. No war, no burn, no emerald chain. Place where we could be free and at peace.
So this is where Star Trek, I mean, as fans, we know we have the Kelvin universe, we have the Mirror universe. You know, when Lorca's looking at the spore drive after Stamets does his 995 million jumps in the first season, and all those little holes are portals to other universes. But this is actually, as far as I know, and again, I'm long on the tooth and I'm a bit senile, but to my knowledge, I think this is the first time that Star Trek has actually in canon acknowledged that there's more than the mirror universe. Am I wrong, or am I right, Nate?
You are wrong, because there's a whole episode of TNT called Parallels, if I'm not mistaken, and we have a very bearded Riker that is from a universe that the Borg have won in.
Oh.
So they have acknowledged many other ones before.
Yeah, but that particular episode, that was created because of an anomaly.
Right.
But it's another universe out there.
Yeah,
but
I agree with
Nate. Is the universe an anomaly?
No, you gotta agree with Nate on this one, because in that episode, there's literally Enterprises from different parallel universes looking at each other. So come on.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that was created kind of by Q. Q created an anomaly that went back in time that created that. That
you know
wasn't
what, Jim,
Starfleet.
Here's what I will give you. I believe, and I might be wrong, but I believe that this is the first time that the term mirror universe is actually used in Star Trek. I don't believe that they actually say mirror universe in any episode except this one. And I think that includes Discovery entirety of season two. I don't think they say
really?
The word mirror. I'm not positive,
wow.
But I'm pretty sure. Because when they said that, it was like a Pavlovian trigger for me, because it's just not a term that has been used off, like, any place other than off the screen before. So I hope that a listener or one of you guys can disprove me if it's true. But
I think I can disprove, because I believe in Deep Space Nine, they have actually mentioned the term mirror universe.
Did they say mirror?
Because when they went through the transporter, they transported into the mirror universe, and can't remember exactly who said it, but I believe it might have been Kira or somebody over there mentioned the mirror universe, because they noticed that they were able to transport back and forth between time and mirror. So I don't know. Maybe. I could be wrong about that, too.
It is an exciting, like, idea that now, Jim, I agree, Jim, I feel like this is kind of a moment, even though it's kind of been hinted at before, this is like a time when they explicitly were like, okay, listen, there's a whole bunch of parallel universes. You know, we saw this in, like, the Boldly Go comic series, which was huge and totally awesome and showed how many universes could possibly expand and become things. And so then the fact that they've canonized that now, I feel like officially, I agree with you, Jim. This is kind of the
moment. Well, now,
there are a whole bunch of them.
Now they've acknowledged that you can get to these places
with enough power.
Right. Before this, you had to have a transporter accident over Telogia during an ice storm during an even month of an odd day where the atmosphere was filled with the lithium, and then you'd end up there. And then Scotty could work his magic to get you back. But now they've said, hey, look, here's these universes, and all we need is power. Poof, we can go there. And that's something they haven't really, you know, well, we
I mean,
got Lorca, the Kelvin movie.
Lorca sort of, I mean, Lorca knew that, but it was the mirror universe. He knew he was trying to get back to his universe, and he knew that the way to get there was the spore drive, which in
the
a lot of ways is a cool source of power that we've never had before in Star Trek.
Yes. That definitely.
Let's also quote, with the help of Memory Alpha, the Kovacs remarked that there have been no crossing between the two universes for over 500 years.
Right.
Yeah. Also, didn't they also mention no Q interactions in that time?
Well,
they haven't
who
had
knows?
Q interactions in that close to that amount of time also.
Yeah, I think it's 600 years for Q. Vance says that.
Now, did the Rysian scientist say that he was from the mirror universe?
No. I
want to
clarify. He actually doesn't say he's from. What he says is, I want to go to my real home, which is in this other universe. So I think the implication is that he's actually from this universe, but his friend actually discovered a universe where there's no war, there's no burn, there's no emerald chain, and that's where he wants to go, and he considers that his real home. So he's not from another universe trying to get back. He's from this universe trying to get to a better one.
Right. Okay. Yep. And as we've discussed many, 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 many times before, you don't have to switch with your counterpart to go there.
Nope.
And that's a misconception that a lot of people have because of Mirror Mirror, where they all switch. But that was during a transporter accident and blah, blah, blah. You know, because we saw Kira meet the attendant on Deep Space Nine. They didn't switch. So you can go to a mirror universe or a parallel universe and meet your counterpart without having an intergalactic collapse of time because 1.21 gigawatts collapsed. You know, you, none of that, you know.
I got a question about the mirror universe, actually. I was just thinking, out of all the series, have they all interacted with mirror universes? And at that time, were all the mirror universes the same?
The answer to your first question is no. The answer to your second question is yes, because TNG never interacted with the mirror universe.
But they did have the parallel universes.
They did, correct, but they did not touch on the mirror universe, and then during DS9, they actually showed the aftermath of the mirror universe specifically from TOS.
And Voyager didn't do a mirror universe either, although they did in
the
comics.
They did not, but the comic Mirrors and Smoke was awesome. You should read it.
So,
but you know, you can always go talk to Commander Ransom and ask how he slides from one dimension to another.
That's right.
That's true. Oh, that's true. I forgot about him. That's right.
Still my favorite show he was ever on with Slider. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was a good show. I you know, any show that kind of like takes place in multiple universes, I'm on board, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I have another clip here that I want to play.
The vote.
Permission to address yourself.
Where is?
Of course.
I'm Cleveland Booker, son of Quajon. I stand here as what my people would call Malaisi, speaker for the dead. My planet's lost. My family. I feel the final moments every day. I pray none of you ever have to experience that kind of pain. And I want to do whatever it takes to ensure you don't. Communication and diplomacy has been the way of the Federation for centuries. I, too, value those things in normal times. But these are not normal times. Irreparable harm has already been done. We need to defend ourselves. I recognize using Targa's weapon carries risk, but so does not using it. Don't wait until the people you love are taken from you before you act. You don't want that on your conscience. Trust me. On behalf of all who have been lost, please, end this now.
Okay, so this is the meat and potatoes. This is the one I really want to talk about. That was Booker's argument for why they should nuke the Species 10C. And basically they want to use these catalytic converters.
Isolytic weapons.
Yep. They want to destroy subspace and prevent warp travel in this whole area. And there could be ripples that would affect everything around it. It could backlash through the wormhole and do God knows what damage to the species 10C. And they lay this all out. And Booker's like, nope, it doesn't matter. We got to do it, blah, blah, blah. So Burnham answers that, and then we end up having a Book versus Burnham in this particular episode. And in this particular episode, I thought it was cool because a few episodes ago, they put Burnham on the council, and here she is on the council. I just thought that was neat that we finally got to see the council that they said they were going to make. They actually made it, and there she was. And so that was Booker's argument for why they should nuke Species 10C. And this is Burnham's argument for why they shouldn't, but it's intertwined, and I want to say brilliantly intertwined, with Nammoth's argument with Zora. So it's kind of all twisted together. So this is Booker saying why they should nuke 10C. This is Burnham saying why they shouldn't. And Stamets saying why he doesn't trust Zora. They're all kind of one thing. And I want to play this, and then I want to dive into it and see what you guys think.
Our experiences shape us. That's what makes
I'd like to trust you, Zora, just like I trust the rest of the crew. I want to get there, but it's really hard.
Before we head down a path that could lead to destruction on both sides, we need to reach first for understanding.
I'm trying to understand you. Trying to get my head around how they can be so okay with this, and I'm not.
For generations, the Federation has sought out new life, new civilizations, not to destroy, but to connect, even in the face of uncertainty. And we are not all Federation members, but those ideals can still guide us, especially them. We cannot let fear define us in this moment.
Trust is a choice, and I can make that choice if it goes both ways.
We're all in this together. Wherever we come from, whatever our experiences, and the only way we get through this.
The only way we'll move forward is together. And that means you need to trust us too, Zora. We need those coordinates.
We need to decide, who do we want to be? Do we lash out blindly, no matter the risk? Or do we proceed thoughtfully, work toward the future we want to live in? I believe that's who we are. We wouldn't be here otherwise.
We don't have the luxury of asking philosophical questions right now. What matters is the actions we take, stopping this thing today.
There are different points of view in this room, I know. But I hope that when a decision is reached, whatever it is, that we can hold together, that we can move forward as a united front.
Some differences are too great. Sometimes we just have to accept the consequences of that.
You've given me much to consider, Commander Stamets. I'd like to take a moment.
Beautifully expressed, Commander. Living with a therapist, you pick up a thing or two.
I've reflected on what you've said, Commander. As trust is both an emotional and logical act, I began with a behavioral performance assessment. Data shows your actions and the crew's to be consistently taken with care for others and the Federation. I hadn't considered that earlier. Even if some fear remains, this new realization is quite calming. And your request for reciprocity, understandable. Thank you, Commander, for reaching toward me.
What are those?
The coordinates.
So, yeah, there's so much to unwrap in there. There's a lot there. A lot of Star Trek there. Of course, the next scene, which I didn't want to go too long, was when Zora says it's nice to finally be seen, and that was an important line that I wanted to get in, but I couldn't fit it in there because that scene went kind of long. But Shannon, you wanna start us off here? What did you think of? Who do you think was right, Booker or Burnham or Stamets?
Well, I think everybody was right, which is why it was such a good episode, because it depends on your perspective. But the idea for Star Trek, well, I like Star Trek, is because it's a better version of the future. That's why I always like Star Trek. So you want to hopefully find these creatures and hope and work with them, as opposed to, you know, they may not have meant to hurt anybody. Because I was actually talking to some of my friends yesterday, and, you know, once they annihilated Booker's planet, they kept moving away from other planets. They haven't destroyed another planet. That may have been an accident. So we don't want to kill
I
them.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree completely. I'm totally in your corner, Shannon. There's been no proof that it was malice, that it was intentional. And if it was, they could have been tearing through planets the whole time right now, and they didn't.
But they did destroy that asteroid, the prison asteroid. So that's
that
another
they
thing that they destroyed that had people on it.
That's true. They did destroy the asteroid. Yep.
Only one person died.
And he chose to die, that guy.
Right. That's a whole different subject.
Yeah, he chose to die. What do you think, Eric?
Well, so far it seems like the DMA has not exhibited any behavior other than complete randomness. Like, they have not been able to achieve any sort of pattern to the thing. And so I 100% agree with the Vulcans and not the United Earth in that you should approach this situation as a possible first contact. I personally, it wasn't included in this particular clip that we just played, but the clip where Burnham talks about the worms eating whatever they eat and, like, we don't ascribe malice to them because it's just the way they are, that to me was pretty telling that, as Shanna was just saying, it's all about your perspective, you know, and it's very clear at the beginning of this clip that Tarka is a manipulator. Like, he has one thing in mind, and all he wants
yep.
to do is get to this parallel universe where he thinks life is going to be awesome. And it's probably because he was a Ryan slave. You know, there's a very nice moment here where Book says he got rid of his scar as soon as he could, and Tarka's like, well, I keep, you know, we each remember in our own ways. Tark is such a manipulator that he's so dirty. He's definitely a guy that you do not trust. But Burnham, you know, in the parallel scene to this one, among the delegation, she says some really important things. She says, you know, first we must reach for understanding. You know, the truth is that how can we possibly kind of understand each other unless we're looking at each other from each other's perspectives? And the whole idea is to not destroy, but to connect with one another. And that's a huge, huge theme in this season of Discovery. So I love this scene. I personally think this particular scene where they're kind of like showing the Stamets thing and then they're going back to the Burnham thing and they're showing them both simultaneously, this scene right here is a 10 to me among this season's scenes so far, because it just ties everything together so well and in an unpretentious sort of way. You can very clearly see the connection without, like, it being totally shoved down your throat. So I really like this scene.
And I particularly like the way Stamets is reaching for Zora, and you
yeah.
see the outcome. And Zora reaches back, and they come to an agreement, and it's the exact same parallel of what's going on with this 10C species and what Burnham's trying to say. We need to reach out for them and
yeah,
give them...
And
exactly.
Stamets has been kind of the prickly pear all along, and so I actually felt it was a really natural evolution to have him be the one that was the skeptic, right? He's like, oh my God, I got blown out an airlock for control. You know, how am I gonna resolve this? Like, being okay with an AI thing. And we're not gonna get into it. I don't want to dive too deep down the rabbit hole because I know we have limited time. But there's this whole concept that the Federation has an edict against integrated AIs also that kind of plays into this thing. And you got to wonder what the history of that is.
It probably something to do with the M5, maybe, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it comes all the way from M5, and I think it, you know, probably there's some synth stuff in there, some stuff from Picard, you know, there's absolutely a fear of control involved there. So, you know, do the people in the 32nd century remember control from the 23rd century? I don't know. The point is that it's very nice that eventually they recognize her as a non-dangerous thing, which we'll get to here in a second.
And what do you think, Charles? Booker or Burnham?
Well, I worry that they say, well, what's this weapon going to do? Does
yeah.
this guy really care what the weapon's
going to
do?
He does not. He's going to a different universe.
He exactly. I was just talking in chat, and I think Shannon just agreed with me. Are you sure we haven't met our new Lorca?
Mm-hmm.
This guy
yep.
sounds like the Lorca, and I worry the fact that we just got over the burn.
Yeah.
We're just recovering from the burn. And what if we set this thing off and we get something equivalent to the burn again? Maybe it's not destroying dilithium, but how many sectors might we lose over this war? I don't think it's something I'd rather try a peaceful method and not destruct it to see how much we can lose from both sides. I agree with Eric. This one scene for this season is a 10 because I love how they intertwine the two stories together. It's like they wrote that scene perfectly where it intertwines between them both. And we get trying to see Burnham and Booker to what they're going to do, to what Samus is trying to do. And we're getting the two stories intertwined together.
Well, and it shows you what fear can do to a people, right? I think that's like one of the other main points of this scene is it's like, okay, we could live our lives in fear. And what does that do? Well, fear leads to destruction. Whereas at least if you approach a situation with an open hand, like you could get punched in the face. Okay, yes. And then you'll learn something. But if you don't extend your hand at first, how will you ever know if that could have worked or not?
Exactly.
True.
But I love the fact of also discovering that, okay, Zora's got a memory in her core that she didn't create.
Yeah.
Awesome. But she's got a subconscious in there that she cares about the crew. She cares about people. It's like, okay, this is an interesting direction for Zora. How do we get Zora towards Calypso? Well, we're getting Zora because Zora is becoming a... Zora's not just a computer. Zora's another character on the ship.
Absolutely.
And another one that we actually care about.
And I personally think this episode too, with its multiple universe recognition, actually now is connecting more to Calypso than it ever has, because we've always been like, well, how can the Discovery look like the old Discovery but be 1,000 years in the future when we know that everything has changed at this point? Well, if there is the existence of infinite multiple universes, Calypso does not have to have happened in either the prime or mirror universes, right? It could be another parallel universe where the Discovery never got upgraded with 32nd century technology.
Very true. That could be the universe where Prime Lorca is hanging out.
It could be, And it's the only short trek that has not directly connected back to one of the shows.
Right.
Until
exactly.
Now, I feel this is the connection.
And, David, what do you think, Burnham or Booker?
Both?
Yeah, good answer.
Okay.
I'm thinking that I'm kind of agreeing what Janet had said about, you know, how Star Trek is like, it all depends on the perspectives and everything. And also that I think that if they go with Booker and that Rigelian guy, I'm wondering if they explode something that will cause the mirror universe to intertwine with the prime, as in like opening up a doorway that will be permanently open or something for something to happen. But if not, then, you know, they can always use duct tape to close it. But
true.
I was just wondering, though, that if they go with Burnham trying to make peace and everything, the idea that we got in the trailer that they mentioned the new alien race, what they called M8 or something like that.
10C.
10C.
Something like that. And so they are from, like, a different galaxy from what I understood.
Yeah, from outside our galaxy beyond the Great Barrier.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of going both with them because it could be interesting either way how they end up making a twist at the end of the season. But yeah, I guess we have to wait and see.
Well, no, I was going to say Star Trek has gone beyond the galaxy before. So
that's all. True. Nate, you get the caboose. What do you think, Booker or Burnham? Who's right here?
Well, I agree that both sides are, and I posted this, both sides had a compelling argument. I was all, of course, he was the first one to speak. I was all for his book's reasonings and that speech. I was like, hey, yeah, that's exactly right. And then we had Burnham's, and as she was giving her speech, I was like, nope, that's exactly the Star Trek answer. That is the Federation answer. And she said it right in her speech that they, you know, basically boldly go to seek out new life and new civilizations. That's what, and I also think of the board game, Star Trek Ascendancy, which is a great board game. If you guys have never played it, I know Charles
so
and
good.
I have.
It's
he
so
just
good.
Bought it recently.
I love it.
With that board game, you have different ways. Each faction has different ways to do the victory conditions. And the Federation, when they their victory condition is all through diplomacy. So that is what I'm saying. That's the right way in her speech. Now, I want to bring up, though, about book speech is the scientists. Do you guys think that scientist is kind of playing, using Book's tragedy
yes.
for
yes.
his own benefit?
Yep. He's a manipulator.
Yeah. Do you think then that his passionate speech suffers because of the fact that he's being used by that scientist?
I do.
Well, I think,
and I think that Book is in a position right now where he doesn't know what's going on, man. Like, he has so much PTSD right now. In fact, this is the time when he kind of, we didn't, or was it last week when he, the religion kind of acknowledgement within Star Trek, I think that was last week. Like, that's a new thing, and Book has experienced something that nobody else has actually experienced in Star Trek before. So I absolutely believe that he was being manipulated and that his response was a direct result of that manipulation of Tarka. And I think he's still being manipulated at the end of the episode when they jump away.
Well, Tarka seeks him out intentionally.
He does.
So
he knows
he set
him as a mark. He's a grifter.
Yeah, he set this whole thing up because he knew he could play on the sympathy that Book would garner from the committee. He did
totally.
It. He planned it all
out.
Just like,
Book's
he did it.
Eventually.
He set it all up exactly like Lorca set up Stamets in season one.
Yep.
Exactly the same. He played him like a cheap fiddle.
He did.
So, so we got that. And one more thing I got two more things I want to mention. We're going to go over a little bit, but that's okay. So this week we say goodbye to another character, and they're dropping like flies here. But if you remember when the show first started, they said this would be like a Game of Thrones and that any character could be gone at any time. So here we are. They're great. Good evening. What do you think? What do you think, Eric?
Well, I think it's cool that they've sent Gray off to Trill because obviously he had a moment when he saw Trill and was like, okay, that is where I need to go. I have a little bit of a problem with the way they led him into being a guardian in training because I don't think it totally fits in with DS9. But that being said, I think it is interesting that they've taken the couple of Adir and Gray who they've kind of established as a as a unit, but yet they were kind of hinting at the fact that Gray didn't feel very useful. And I actually think Gray has been super useful in the whole storyline of the integration of Zora with her own body and, like, how do you become a new entity and all this kind of stuff. Like, Gray was there on the bridge talking about this stuff because Gray was the only one who had any experience with this. So despite the fact that he was extremely useful, I think, over the last couple of episodes, particularly with the Zora storyline, I think it's cool that they took him off the bridge, because now it gives him a chance to kind of explore this other aspect, and maybe we get a little bit more Trill lore kind of thrown in, other than just the little bit of stuff that we have from DS9 and a little bit of stuff that we have from this show, too. So I think they're going to bring back Tilly. I know they're going to bring back Gray, so I don't have a problem with them leaving the show, ish.
And
you know.
And we also know from the trailer that they're going to bring back Nan.
Yep.
Yay.
And did you notice?
I've been waiting to say that the whole time.
She didn't have the little breather thing, so there's like some 30-second technology going on there too, which is cool.
Yep. So we're going to see her. So what do you think, Shannon? What do you think about the whole thing with Gray going to Trill? Good idea, bad idea? What do you think?
I think it's a good idea because, you know, they're really young, the actors, well, the characters are really young, so that's a normal evolution for them. But also it'll give you see how Dara does on her on their own, because we've never seen them on their own because they were a joined thing until recently.
Right.
So
it'll be
cool to see that. And in the last episode, Adira actually said, I did this, as opposed to the symbiont did it in the other episode. So that's good that they're, like, recognizing it as them now. So.
Right. Exactly. And I got one more. I want to make sure I get everybody's rating for this episode, but I have one more clip, which is another one that I loved. I just loved this one. We saw Burnham get burned, but we also got to see another character pull a Burnham on Burnham, and that's this scene right here.
We have 94 seconds before they realize it's gone to figure out I'm the one who took it. Introducing the next generation spore drive. That's boring. Aurelio needs to come up with a better name. So where's the nav system in this floating bachelor pad of yours? What?
It's tiny.
Oh, I'm sorry. The ability to rapidly install into any ship is not enough for you? As we get past the need for a navigator, I'll be the hero of Starfleet. Hopefully not here to accept the accolades.
Down to 52 seconds.
Wait for it. Bit of a different looking interface, but it works the same as on Discovery. Next part's all you.
Just one thing I need to do first.
Zora, can you find Grudge?
Grudge is 5 meters from your current location.
Yes, I see that. Hold on. Why is... Zora? Where is Book?
He is located on board his ship, which is currently leaving shuttle space.
Book, no. Please, no.
So Burnham was always going rogue and doing what she wanted, regardless of her orders. And here we have Book doing the same thing to Burnham. So that's twice in the same episode that she got burned. Once by Kovich, and then here we have Booker pulling a Burnham on her and doing what he thinks is right, regardless. So I wanted to squeeze that in real quick, and I want to go around and get everybody's scores, because we're actually out of time. So we'll start off with Nate, because I didn't get a chance to read your score on our Facebook page. So what did you give this episode on a scale of 1 to 10, Nate?
I gave this the highest score I have given any Discovery episode, and that is a 9.
Wow, that's pretty high praise.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a good one.
That is.
Yep.
All right, how about you, David?
Well, I'm going to be giving this one a 9.6.
Wow.
9.6. Wow. Jeez, we're rolling here. How about you, Shannon?
I was going to give it a 9.8. This is all stuff we talked about. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, we're going up. We're going up. How about you, Charles? You gonna keep going or?
I'm not gonna keep it going up, but I wasn't sure exactly where to put it. But I want to see what they do with this episode, but I'm still going to say about, let's say, 9.3.
Wow. 9.3.
Oh,
well, Eric, the pressure's on.
I guess it is, man. Well, I absolutely love this episode. I'm a huge DS9 fan, and this was a diplomatic thriller, much like much of the DS9 series. So, I'll give this one a 9.2, which is my highest score of the season. I still think they can push that ceiling just a little higher, but man, it was so good. It was so good.
Well, that leaves me, and I'm going to drop a caveat here. I'm going to say, here we go. I'm going to give this episode a 10 of the ones we've seen so far.
What? Of the ones? Okay, that's fair.
The ones we've seen so far. I think this one by far is the best of all the ones we've seen so far. This one takes the cake.
I think it's the best Star Trekiest one we've seen. Yes,
it's so Trekky. Yeah. I love that, Shannon. And I'd love to have another half an hour to talk about what exactly that means. But you're totally right.
Yeah. So I'm going to give this one a 10 out of 10 so far. So there you have it. So guys,
our average
is
way higher than
the
Facebook
fans.
User.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the fans rate? What was that?
8.6.
Yeah.
Which it was still the highest, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're still on par with the fans. We gave it the highest. Nate gave it the highest too. That's really a stamp right there.
Dude, a 9 from Nate.
Highest ever.
Awesome.
9.
Yeah.
Wow. So. We're out of time, guys. Our first show of 2022, we got the whole gang together, and we even had Ray from the Bronx calling in tonight, which is awesome. So I want to say thank you to Ray for listening and calling in. It was great to hear from Ray down in the Bronx. We got to say thank you so much to Shannon for calling in and Trek Talk, and thank you, Shannon.
Anytime.
And we got to say thank you to David. Thanks for calling and hanging out with us tonight, David.
You're welcome. That was fun.
It's always fun, isn't it? And, of course, Nate. We got to say thank you to Nate from Vegas for hanging with us. Thanks, Nate.
Yep, you're welcome. I'll try to be more of a Debbie Downer next time.
Well, we're going to be talking about Prodigy next week. So, yeah, although that episode was pretty awesome. We'll talk about that next week. And, of course, we couldn't do the show without my Trekspurs. Thank you so much to Charles for hanging out and Trek talking with us. Charles, thanks.
Oh, it's been a great show. Great start to the new year. Some of the things I've heard teasing on tonight's episode, today's episode of Prodigy. I can't wait.
Yep, next week we'll tackle that. And, of course, thank you so much to Eric for hanging out and Trek talking with us. Thank you, Eric.
You better believe it. Thanks to all of you. What a great start to 2022. Live long and prosper, y'all.
It has been awesome. Before we go, I mentioned it at the top of the show, and I'm going to mention it now for all you guys that are out there listening. We have a great show planned for you guys next week. You definitely want to tune in. You can't make it to a convention. You want to talk to a Star Trek actor or a Star Trek fan live on the show. The next week's show is for you. We're going to have with us excuse me. I need a drink. I've been talking too much. I'm dry. Noah Avar Katz is going to be with us. He played Rin, the Andorian that got his antenna whacked off by Osiris in season 3 of Discovery. He's also married to Mary Tilly Wiseman. He's a huge Star Trek fan. He was a Star Trek fan before he was on Star Trek. So he's got stories to share from both sides of the table. And he's a huge D&D fan. So we're going to be talking to him live on this show. So give us a call at 646-668-2433 next Thursday and have your questions ready. There's only one caveat to that. He will not talk about season 4 of Discovery because he signed an NDA. So if you want to call and ask him about the DMA or about anything that's going on this season, he cannot talk about that. But anything from season 3 and back, he's more than happy to talk about. So Give us a call next week and talk to Noah. It'll be a blast. So, guys, I just want to say I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim. I hope everybody has a great 2022. And please, I want everybody to stay safe and be good to each other. We're going to end the show on a slightly different note this week. Usually I end it off with Captain Picard saying, let's see what's out there. But I want to butter your biscuits a little bit and wet your whistles for Discovery. So we're going to end the show with the season trailer and season premiere trailer for episode 8, 408. And this is it. So give it a listen and enjoy Star Trek Prodigy and join us next week. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night. Good night.
Booker and Tarka must be stopped. Whatever the cost. You think I'm too close to this?
I believe that there is no one else who could possibly correct his path.
How long do you need to build the weapon?
24 hours should do it.
This will stop the DMA. No one else has to die.
This isn't an easy mission, but it is critical that we succeed.
Booker's outside Federation territory.
You leave
without a weapon, without a badge, without authority.
And there may be a few surprises.
Let's get to it.
Aye, Captain.
If Booker and Tarka succeed, they risk provoking a highly advanced species capable of destroying us all.
Before I get to say I was born ready.
Something is coming. A life form.
Whatever we think we know about species 10C, we're wrong.
Let's see what's out there.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.